Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios. Ian, we have a statement from Calvin Ridley.
Cool.
Who has just signed with the Titans for $92 million. Chess, not checkers. Love all, Ridley. What's that mean? You don't seem to have much of an idea. Neither do I. Anywho, with that, the Predators are in Winnipeg red hot. As they hit the road, they win on Saturday. They lose in overtime. And what was a gutsy decision by John Hines on Sunday. But now they're taking on Winnipeg. This has some playoff preview vibes, especially now that we are post-trade deadline. We know what the rosters are going to be. And Predators general manager Barry Trotz joins us, presented by Gary Force Acura. So, Barry, I want to start with this. How exciting is it? How relaxing has it been to know that the trade deadline is now past you, and how quiet has your phone been?
It is quite a transformation from, probably the 3 weeks before the trade deadline to the basically the minute after the trade deadline. It is totally a 360 from that standpoint, but I'll take it at this point.
Barry, let's start with the new additions. You know, Jason Zucker got into the two games over the weekend, and Anthony Beauvillier got into the two games and played over the weekend. What did you think of them early on? And now that they've been with the team for the road trip and then practice and now the road trip and the meetings and everything else, what do you think about their assimilation into the group?
Well, I think, the first thing that you want them to assimilate in the group, just as humans, it's difficult, coming to a new team, new players in the locker room, how things are done, just trying to fit in is probably the number one thing. And I think both of them have great personalities. They're going to fit in great with our guys, especially with the leadership group that we do have. I think they'll fit in seamlessly that way. In their game, you can tell that this is a lot of stuff that we do as a hockey team is foreign to them. You could see them thinking rather than just reacting. But that will come. That will come with reps and game time and seeing, even teammates playing, understanding that you can flood certain zones, you can go and support a little quicker. We talk about our defense having a possession or full possession will trigger your decision on how far you may push out in the zone or come across and support. So all that will come in time. You could tell if it was systematically with those guys in the first couple games, I would say they probably would be, I would consider that very average, but that's not an indictment or anything. It's just the process that they have to go through. But I know both these guys, once they get everything down, they start reacting rather than thinking. They'll be fine. They'll be really good ads for us.
You know, Barry, I found it fascinating that Andrew Burnett decided to put them on the same line with Colton Sissons, a very experienced veteran, and kind of keeping the younger guys with Jankowski and Evangelista and those guys together. What was it about Sissons that kind of made him the guy that they said, okay, let's bring these two new guys in and let's put them with Colton Sissons at the very beginning, knowing that it was a shotgun marriage given the whole timing of them arriving and joining the team?
Well, I thought it was a wise decision on Andrew's part because of the fact you got two new guys who haven't played the system that we play. You put them with probably the most stabilizing centermen that we have and let them learn together. Anthony and Zuck on the same line, learning together with Colton as their centerman. And then what you do is you keep all the other lines that seem to have really good chemistry, seem to understand each other, how they play. And you all you did was basically sort of move the one line and allowed them to try to learn together. And the other three lines, weren't disrupted at all. So I thought it was a wise decision on his part. And I think it'll pay dividends for us in the future.
You know, Cody Glass has the hat trick. Barry Trotz is with us, presented by Gary Force Acura. He has the hat trick against Colorado, which he really needed, from a scoring standpoint. And then he kind of got banged around in the two games at home physically. And he gets taken out of the lineup over the weekend with the two new guys coming in. And I wonder in the discussions of with two new guys and one guy, Trennan, going out, in the discussions about who would go out, how much of that was about either the – we've seen kind of the scratching resets that Coach Burnett's used, and how much of it was Cody Glass got banged around a little at home last week, and he probably could use the time off from the hits and everything else to recover?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. I think, you know, he got banged around a little bit, and this time of year you're going to get banged around a little bit and you're going to get marked up. And I just thought it was just the timing-wise, it was probably a perfect situation where both the new guys come in and you allow Cody to have a little break to heal up. And at the same time, you know, there's an accountability too. I think Cody, when he gets banged up, you know, it's hard for players to play at the level that they can. And a lot of guys play at some of the veteran guys, you know, like their guy like Roman Yossi's been banged up many times in his career and finds ways to contribute. But those are the elite players. A lot of the players that are, I'll say, just trying to find their own game, when they get marked up, a lot of times it's hard for them to keep that standard that allowed them to be successful. So I think Cody's going through that. He understands that we've got some new people in as well. So if we're going to go down this stretch, the last 16 games are going to be really hard. They're going to be physical. This is going to be you better put your big boy pants on tonight against the Winnipeg Jets, because they're the real deal. I mean, I look at them, Colorado, they're right there with Dallas. But this team can be big and nasty and physical, as well as have a really high end, a group of forwards and a deep set of forwards. So they just keep coming at you. So we're going to have to go four lines. We're going to have to put our big boy pants on tonight and be ready to go.
Do you look at tonight as kind of a playoff measuring stick game? I know we talked last week about how that Colorado win gave you guys confidence approaching the deadline. And we saw Colorado after that game kind of shake up their roster ahead of the trade deadline. Now, the trade deadline's come and gone, but this very much could be a playoff series, playoff preview. Do you look at it as kind of a measuring stick of where you stand up against a potential playoff opponent if you guys make it?
Yeah, a little bit, but I wouldn't put everything into this game because I've been on both situations over a course of time. When you've had a team that, you know, they come in and say it doesn't go well for us tonight, we have a real rocky night, it's also a great trigger for your team to go, okay, we've got to dial it up another notch, and we got to do some things systematically where we can take some things out of their game as well. But if you have a real positive game, that can go a long way, just like that Colorado game, and say, you know what, hey, if we meet these guys, we're not going to be taking steps backward. We're going to try to push forward against these guys. So I think it works both ways. Any way you want to spin it, it can be used in a positive vein. But I expect us to show up. We've been showing up for, you know, the last 12 games, and I expect to show up tonight. I think the game's going to be won in the blue paint tonight. It's not going to be the goaltending. It's going to be the bodies in front of the blue paint. I think that's where the war is going to happen tonight.
Man, you sound like a football coach. You're getting all excited, you know, run them in there, run through the little run out of the tunnel through the paper into the battle. Barry Trotz is with us here on the program. Speaking of the way you guys have played, there was a lot that was made about the standard. You've brought that up a bunch, right? Like, okay, yep, the team didn't meet the standard, and that's what led to the Vegas trip. Then the team was playing to the standard. And Andrew Burnett said on Tuesday and Thursday last week he didn't feel necessarily like they played to the standard, even though they got points in both games. Did you feel over the weekend in two high-intensive games at Columbus and Minnesota, did you feel like the team was playing to the standard?
I thought they slipped a little bit. I know this from coaching a long time, is that I always say you go through 10-game segments. You can be really, really good for 10 games, play to that standard night in and night out. And usually those 10 games are about a month. And then it's hard to sustain that level, especially unless you're a absolute, really deep juggernaut type of team. It is hard to keep that standard. So what I always say is that those next 10 games, do you find ways to win games when you maybe didn't deserve it? Can you find get a point when maybe you cut, like we did the other night? We fell back in that game, but what happened, our leadership group sort of grabbed the handle right there, said, hey, we got a power play late here. We can get this thing tied up. And lo and behold, they got it done. So finding ways to get points, like we can look at that Minnesota game and say, hey, we lost the game. But I look at it the other way. We found a way to gain a point right at the end of the game. And, and I thought it was a really good strategic thing with John Hines pulling the goaltender. I mean, I haven't seen it that long. I have seen it, I think it was a couple years back. I think LA did it on a face-off with about 3 seconds to go. In overtime, they pulled their goalie and they did a little of the Ovechkin play, and where he wins it straight back and he slaps it in. So I thought it was well calculated and they executed on it. Good on them. I think that was a bold move. I think you can see the desperation in Minnesota's needing of points, and they made a good call and they came through on it.
It's funny you brought that up. I was actually going to ask you about that because when I saw, because again, I don't know the rule book the way that you guys do, but when I saw them do that, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. You pull the goalie and then that way you're not making it 50-50 against Saros in a shootout. And then when I found out on the TV broadcast that you lose the point, I was like, Whoa, that was some freaking guts. And I mean, I know how coaches feel about a lot of things, which is, it's a good decision if it works. It's a bad decision if it doesn't. And that's how the media is going to treat it. And I don't necessarily subscribe to that. But for the life of me, Barry, for a couple days, I kept trying to wrestle with, was this the good strategic decision or not? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, you could tell they had something on their bench they were going to do. If you just watch the benches, you can tell that there was something up. We were sort of prepared for it. We probably might not have been prepared for it for that long. We were thinking it might be the last, 40 seconds or not a minute and 40. So we were sort of onto it, but obviously we didn't get it done. But it's something that's going to happen more and more, I think, in the next coming years that coaches will be pulling their goaltender with 3-on-3, especially maybe with the last minute in a game when they need the extra points to try to catch up. So I think it'll be – I know in the KHL they do it a lot more, and I'm actually going to do a little – ask our people, see if we can get some information on. A lot of teams are doing that more in the KHL, overtime pulling their goaltender, feeling that they get puck possession, they'll take their chance. So maybe we'll do a little study on it and see if it's analytically makes sense. Years and years ago when you're always taught, if the team pulls its goalie, don't shoot for the open net. Try to get it over the red line, don't ice it, all that. Now analytics has shown us that you try for the open net. It's just a better percentage of winning hockey games. So we'll do a little, get our analytics people onto that and see if it makes some sense and give that information, whatever it may be, to our coaches.
Barry Trotz is with us. So we had talked maybe a couple months ago about the young guys that were coming into the season with, hoping that one or two of those guys maybe broke through and popped. And it seems like Luke Evangelista is starting, in my opinion, to take those steps. When you see the production, and not only the production, but the way he's playing the entire game, do you see, him maybe getting to that next step?
Yeah, absolutely. I see the things. You look back at Luke, he had a really good start. I think we were all excited. And then, like a lot of players who try to find their level in the National Hockey League, he sort of just flattened out. He was still a good player, but maybe not producing at the same rate. And then he started, started to doubt if he was going to produce anymore, and his game sort of started flattening out even more. I think Andrew wisely took him out for a game, talked to him, showed him some stuff that he wanted, and he popped him right back in, and Luke's been good ever since. I think Luke, in the areas of pace of game, his areas of his defense responsibilities, his all those things have sort of come full circle, and He is getting another level of confidence. On two-on-ones, he's not necessarily always looking to pass. He's shooting the puck with authority. I think he's playing a really mature game for his age right now.
Barry Trotz is presented by Gary Force Acura. Barry, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the road with the team and the post-trade deadline. I won't say lull because you guys are still working, but the post-trade deadline not attached to your phone 24-hour mentality.
We're going to call it a little bit of an exhale. That's what I'm going to call it.
There you go. Barry Trotz. Good luck tonight, Barry.
Thank you.
Yep, Barry Trotz joining us on the program, presented by Gary Force Acura. And so tonight, Barry said, get the big boy pants on against Winnipeg. Let me just say this. I don't have a hatred for Winnipeg. You know, that series, like, I thought that was a great seasonal rivalry in 2018, and that was a great series, and you just came out on the wrong side of it. But there's something about playing against them that I just dread because of how they play. Doesn't matter who the coach is. Doesn't matter who the players are. It just seems to be a Winnipeg thing. But Predators game day is next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
This is Predators game day, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Now on Stillman and Company.
Predators game day is presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, online at tjandersonhomes.com. TJ Anderson, my agent, get your house seen, heard, and sold with TJ Anderson. As Barry Trotz said, it is a big boy matchup tonight. The Nashville Predators, 37-25-4 on the road at the Winnipeg Jets, 41-18-5. That's good for 87 points at the Canada Life Center, where they are having a hard time selling tickets in Winnipeg. And I never thought I would see the day. About last month, they had an article about how hard it's been to get tickets sold in Winnipeg. And they're like, man, you know, we can't be like Vegas, Dallas, and Nashville. And I'm like, yes. But the important facts about tonight's game, 6:30 start time, so a little bit early. Max is up next with the pregame show. The Predators' playoff odds going into tonight. The Predators have an 86% chance of making the playoffs. Where they sit in the standings, they have the first wild card spot, 1 point ahead of Vegas. Vegas has a game in hand, so they have to keep up with that, and they are 7 ahead of Minnesota. So a win tonight would go a long way because, again, we're talking about padding with about 16, 17 games to go, whatever it may be. So that's important to note. Also, if the playoffs were to start today, the Predators would go on the road to Dallas. But Winnipeg has 3 games in hand on Dallas and is only 2 games back. So Winnipeg, in theory, could jump Dallas, and this could be a first-round matchup with the Preds and the Jets. So we will get you set with the pregame show. Max has you coming up next. Stillman and Company, it's been a wild show today. We'll see you all tomorrow at 2 o'clock.